Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Carbot Brewing Company.
Don't sweat the technique.
It's the Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of the Killer Bees.
Now bringing you the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing?
He's Blank. I'm Branham. We got Brian McDonald, our on-site engineer, Abigail, behind the glass. It is a full house with the Killer Bees on this Thursday afternoon. Killer Bees broadcasting live from Carbot Brewing. What happened there, Blankers? A little bit of a false start.
Yeah, more Jeremy, of a delay if you want to blame actually. Me, you can. Your good friend who loves to sabotage us now that he's not one of us decided that it would be a good idea to do his best imitation of his favorite place kicker, and Kevin Butler, the plug, kicked us off the air. It was really well done by Joe George.
Oh, you're talking about Joe?
Yeah. He kicked Joe's us off the air, so then it was a mass today. Panic. Nah, he's behind good. Me laughing right now.
Mass panics are not good. I think he did it intentionally. I think one half of the Killer Gs did it intentionally to troll one half of the Killer Bees. That's what I think.
I don't think you're wrong, but I don't think it's just one half.
Well,
I think he has absolutely no loyalty or love for the show at all since he left.
Yeah, I believe that to be true. Yeah. But I think it bothers one half of us.
Yeah.
You can come visit us at Carbot Brewing. The boys are out there. It's located at the 610-290 Interchange, Spring Branch area. How's the weather out there? Pretty good?
No. It's been atrocious. And the combo platter of awful, awful weather with just massive amounts of rain and the president in town made 610 just an absolute amusement park ride because one side, thankfully not the side I was trying to get to Carbuck on, was completely blocked off. And they were just two bike cops were holding 2 miles of traffic just in a standstill. And then on the other side, everybody was rubbernecking to see that there was no traffic and what was going on. And then on top of that, with the rain, it made for an interesting commute.
Well, it's a good place to get out of the rain. Go hang out. Carbot Brewing, carbotbrewing.com. They have beautiful beer garden, outdoor space whenever the weather is good, but a good indoor space, too, when it's not. Join us in the pub daily for lunch, dinner, brunch on Sunday. Great food to go along with their great beers. It pairs all very, very good. Enjoy a burger and a bock, free glass for just $20 from March 20th through April 10th. Fantastic place to hang out. Fantastic place to duck work a little bit early or avoid traffic on a Thursday. Come hang out at Carbox, your perfect place to grab a bite. Perfect place to, of course, grab their outstanding beer. Lots to get to today. It is a Bad Take Boulevard Thursday, which Joe George is going to make an appearance. They have multiple options. I think it was just going to limit him to just one today, though. Don't want to give him too much of the Killer Bee rub. Also, we're going to be starting today our first annual Killer Bee Fight Club bracket. And we got some interesting matchups. Can't wait to do that a little bit later on in the show. But first and foremost, how about Shohei Ohtani? What is going on? Is he a better? Is he a victim? What do you think, Blankers?
You know what? I think there's too much to still decipher in this. The more I read, the more I listen, the more I'm looking to see about this situation, you end up with more questions than answers, and it is going to get spicy. I just feel like this is far from over. The FBI is involved now, so you know that there's no turning back. I think baseball probably feels like they'd like to get this taken care of and swept away as quickly as possible, and yet now I don't think there's any turning back from this. And the fact that the interpreter had one story when everything started to unravel and then changed the story after that, and now Ohtani's people were trying to get involved and stop the interviews or try to change the narrative. And it just the fact that Ohtani's name directly is on the two wire transfers, too, it's like it's a bad look for a guy that is the highest paid player in baseball that is the face of the game right now. And it's going to be real interesting how it plays out.
So is he the better or a victim?
You know what? Obviously, Astros fans want to believe he's a better. I believe that he is bailing out his trainer. But it's sure if you believe the other side, I totally understand it based on what we don't know.
It's fascinating. You had E.P. Muzahara in the dugout like the day before the news broke, and they were laughing. You telling me that you know Shohei didn't know that? Like he didn't know that he had $4.5 million transferred out of his bank account to pay off a gambling debt? That seems fishy to me. That doesn't pass the smell test. One of the other things too, like how many people know your wire transfer information?
Right.
Like my wife doesn't know our wire transfer information.
If there's one person for just common folk like us, it would be your significant other, my wife. If you're a big-time athlete or star, there's probably still only one or two people. A lot of guys have a business manager or someone directly in charge of all their financial transactions that keeps track of this stuff. But other than that, not even the people that work for you that are your personal assistants, that are people like – those people don't have – and for good reason, they don't have any access to stuff like that.
And I just don't – Go ahead,
You know, you have the interpreter. Like maybe the guy likes betting. A lot of people like betting. How is that guy racking up a $4.5 million gambling debt? Like I can understand getting in too heavy. Like I can understand somebody who has a gambling addiction doing that. But how are you racking up $4.5 million? And who is giving you a credit of $4.5 million?
That's what I want
to know. Just the interpreter. So there's a lot of things here that just don't pass the smell test to me. And then you also had like the LA Times report where they kind of changed their story over the hour. The interpreter was never mentioned until they changed their story after the fact.
Yeah. So it was just that they were trying to say the Dodgers fired Ohtani's interpreter. Then all of a sudden, all this other stuff starts coming out. Now, Passan and ESPN is saying that the woman that has been covering the story for ESPN, she has as much of the details as anybody right now. But even then, Ohtani's people were trying to get with her because they gave her an interview with the interpreter only to come back, you know, a short time later and say, whoa, we're going to change our story and we need to kind of got to make some things get corrected. And, of course, ESPN's doing good journalism. But there's still so much that's kind of hanging in the balance.
I just don't buy the story that it was theft. For some of the reasons you guys have mentioned. One, why would an interpreter have his financial information? He's not an investor. He's not a stockbroker. He's not someone that would be making large financial transactions for Shohei Ohtani. And two, I think the original story that came out, that Ohtani was probably the good guy in covering his buddy's bets, is probably the truth. But once he put out that story, the lawyers got to him and said, hey, look here. If we go with this story, then there's a reasonable leap people could make that maybe Ohtani was using this interpreter as a proxy to make his bets for him. So we need to change the story to make sure Ohtani's culpability gets removed from the situation. And they're now going forth with this theft scenario. But the idea that Ohtani had $4.5 million stolen from an interpreter that somehow had the ability to wire money for him in that amount, I just don't buy it all. It's completely implausible.
I think that Shohei was betting. Like, I don't want to be sued.
I'm just saying, best case scenario, he covered his buddy's bets.
Right. And, like, the other part of it, if they're going to throw him under the bus, like, he's going to have to face some sort of, like, criminal investigation, right? Like, $4.5 million theft is something that you should
be
looked
at.
It's
being illegal,
like,
too.
We were talking about this before the show. Once the FBI gets involved, there's no, hey, head nod, bro hug, we're cool, we're good, don't worry about this one. Once they're in, they're in. And that $4.5 million means a lot more and is a much bigger crime than, you know, guys just going, oh, we got this, don't worry about it, turn the other cheek, we'll handle it internally, and MLB will get involved. Nope, not once the FBI gets involved. Now you're talking about a real deal.
The fascinating part of it to me, too, is, like, I don't think this is going to go away. Like, a lot of the things don't add up. I'm sure Shohei was tipped off that this was coming. Like, Shohei knew something was happening. Like, either he paid the guy $4.5 million to cover up his interpreter's bets. He was gambling, and they used the interpreter to kind of be the face of the whole thing. This is something that was happening before the Major League Baseball opening series in Korea. Like, so you had the guy in the dugout. Like, that the dugout had the game one of the regular season. That had to have been after Shohei Ohtani knew this stuff was going on, right? Like, was he told after the game? Like let's give Shohei the benefit of the doubt for a second. Let's say with the Shohei Ohtani side of the story, which was changed, by the way, an hour after the initial, you know, kind of what they were going to say, and then they had to, you know, change their story to get Shohei out of any sort of legal concerns or any sort of concerns that could hurt him in terms of Major League Baseball. They knew that, right? So Shohei knew that he covered up the guy's expenses of $4.5 million, right? That didn't happen yesterday. That didn't happen after game one of the season. That would have happened several weeks, months, a year ago. Who knows the exact timeline? Like, I'm fascinated by the timeline. So you're going to tell me that Shohei, who's cracking jokes to the interpreter in the dugout in game one between the Dodgers and the Padres, knows that he had $4.5 million stolen from him and he's got giggling with him in the dugout? I'm not buying that. No chance am I buying that.
Well, and then they said that somehow or another in the articles I was reading that this wasn't even going to be a deal, a big deal, but then they were looking at just like transfers and exchanges of money and thing, and purchases or whatever, somehow with Ohtani's account from months ago, and suddenly it popped up or that they found out that two of these Ohtani payments were literally – For to cover gambling bets, and they were like, wait a minute, what's this?
Some of the transfers literally had his name on it. Yes, I mean, at least two of them literally had his name on it.
That was the first thing. Like, the first thing whenever this story, it said representative Dodgers superstar Shohei Ohtani on Wednesday accused his interpreter of engaging in a massive theft of the player's funds, blah, 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 blah. Lawyers for Ohtani made the claim after the Times learned that Ohtani's name had surfaced in the investigation of Matthew Boyer, an Orange County resident. This was Ohtani's name on it before the interpreter was ever mentioned. The interpreter wasn't even mentioned until they changed their story. So, like, what is the timeline here? Because if he thinks that, you know, they're alleging the interpreter to steal $4.5 million and the interpreter, like, kind of gave the public meeting in the dugout saying, hey, I'm addicted to gambling. Hey, it was me, not this guy over here. Look over here. Look at me. Don't look at Shohei Ohtani. He's not going to be giggling with him in the dugout.
Yeah, you're absolutely right about that. Look, if there would be so much bad blood, no matter how much money you make, if you find out that somebody has been, you know, taking money from you, and it's in the ballpark of $4.5 million, there's just no way, no matter how much money you make, that anybody's going to be okay with that, and you're not going to be chummy with them, especially when there's cameras all over the place in the middle of a Major League Baseball game.
The timeline just doesn't make sense. And let's also remember that, because this has come out from the Dodgers camp, this has come out from the interpreter, they keep trying to put out that, oh, well, he wasn't betting on baseball, which by MLB rules, you can't bet on quote-unquote diamond sports. But if you're placing bets with a legal bookie, like this interpreter was alleged to do, then it doesn't matter that you're placing bets on the NFL and not Major League Baseball. It all becomes then illegal. And we just know about the $4.5 million in losses. That doesn't say what his total bets were over the years. That's just what he lost that Ohtani allegedly covered up. The money that was actually bet by the interpreter could be a lot larger.
Well, and the other thing too, Jeremy,
I want to see so much of this. Go ahead, Blaker.
Me too. The one thing that when I was reading some of this, that when the feds were involved, it wasn't about Ohtani. They were involved in trying to get to the bottom of this illegal bookie. Mm-hmm. And in the process, in January, of uncovering the books of the illegal bookmaker, they find the name Shohei Ohtani on two different transfers of $500,000, and that's when they were made aware and going, that's more than just scratch your temple. That's big time if you got a guy of that magnitude involved in the middle of this guy doing what he's been doing.
And that's the first thing of a timeline, right? Like, okay, he paid $500,000 in January. So this was happening pre-January. He paid $500,000, you know, twice in January. It's March 21st now. So, like, Shohei and Shohei's camp knew that this was going on by January. By January, yet that guy was still employed by the Dodgers. Shohei Ohtani kept that guy around. Shohei Ohtani took the guy to Korea for the opening series of Major League Baseball, and Shohei Ohtani was joking around with him in the dugout of Game 1 2 months after he paid $500,000. Like, what is that? What are we talking about here? Like, that is fishy. Like, if you're and look, if you're going to believe Shohei's side of the story, well, then that guy stole the $500,000 twice, so that's $1 million there. We know the grand total is $4.5 million, right? So if he did that in January, why is Shohei still buddies with him?
It does not make a lot of sense at all. There's so much that we have to get answers to. And you're right. Like, there's no way anybody on the planet, no matter how much you're worth and how long you've been friends, is going to be okay and yucking it up with a guy that if he's embezzling money from you. And even if you're trying to cover him, like my joke yesterday, I was just joking saying, well, that was one of the guys that the Dodgers were able to fire, even though Ohtani had said he wanted him hired and they've been friends. If Ohtani hires him to be his director of marketing for his foundation or for something off the field, then you know that there's a lot more to that relationship than just interpreter and player and he's covering for him or, you know, he's going to make sure he's okay. But the dude had the fluffiest gig on the planet. Just hang with your boy, interpret his thoughts, and makes, you know, $300,000 to $500,000 a year, and instead there's a $4.5 million gambling debt we're talking about?
Yeah, this is nuts. What do you think's going on with Shohei? 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. We're on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN97.5. We're live on YouTube. Just search ESPN Houston on YouTube. And get over here to Carbach. Hang out with the boys coming this spring to the Carbach campus. Pizza and Pints, a new slice of heaven opening this spring at the brewery. Our new pizzeria offers ice-cold beer, deliciously crafted pizza made with love. Follow us on social at Carbach Pizza to get the latest news and information on our grand opening. College basketball happening now. We're going to give you updates throughout the entire day. North Carolina leads Wagner by 16 with 11.5 to go in the second half. Illinois, Morehead State, tight game first half, 2:45 to play. Illinois leads by one. Oregon, South Carolina just tipped off. They're tied at 5, 15.5 to go in the first. So we'll keep you up to date what's going on around the NCAA tournament throughout the day. First round of the Fight Club in the Palillo bracket. We got a Bad Take Boulevard, lots more. But what are your conspiracy theories, or what do you believe to be true in the Shohei Ohtani case? And how much are you wrapping in the Astros and what happened to them and the sign-stealing scandal into this? 713-780-3776, HRMP listener line. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Carbach Brewing Company. Here's the Killer Bees, Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
He's Blank, I'm Branham. The boys at Carbach Brewing on this Thursday afternoon. Join us at the pub daily for lunch, dinner, and brunch on Sunday. Current pub specials, how about a burger and a bock? Plus a free glass for just $20. That's March 20th through April 10th. So it started yesterday. In celebration of Bach Day, we'll also be running $4 Bachs all month long. How do you not like that? Get to 610-290 Interchange, Spring Branch area, and get to Carbach Brewing today at carbachbrewing.com for the upcoming event. 713-780-ESPN, 4965, Josh from Seabrook. Dodger fans like to complain about the Astros cheating 7 years after the fact. Will this scandal involving Ohtani's interpreter finally shut them up, Blankers?
I think let's just wait to see all the facts and see how it plays out. Look, I think it could shut a lot of things up and shut a lot of things down if this is big, because we were talking about it before the show with Joe, and I was talking with Joe Pauly and BMAC, and you know, best case scenario for baseball, for the Dodgers, for Ohtani, is that he was stealing money from Ohtani and that Ohtani had nothing to do with it, and then everybody can wash their hands and walk away. Worst case scenario is you're talking about a Pete Rose type deal that's even bigger with more magnitude, and I understand that Pete Rose, you know, is supposed to be in the Hall of Fame and he's the hit king, but there's no bigger superstar for the game going forward for the next probably 10 years than Ohtani and the contract that went with it, and suddenly you're looking at your cover guy, you're the face of your league, possibly facing just unbelievable amounts of sanctions and punishment and just a horrible look for the sport.
Yeah, I don't like the Astros, like bringing up the Astros in this. I think they're very different. You can make the case that, hey, you know, the Astros weren't protected from Robert Manfred. It looks like Shohei Ohtani can be potentially protected here. But we know Manfred plays his favorites. Like, this isn't new. Like, he did it with the Yankees, and he did it with the Yankees letter. Like, the Yankees letter says that the Yankees cheated using illegal measures and using technology measures to steal signs. But he did it in a way that softened the blow whenever it came out. You know, he covered it up forever. You know, he didn't let that out there whenever he allowed the Astros to burn. And then he linked it to that Martino fella in New York or whatever, the Times or the Post, I have no idea. But remember how he's like, oh, there's nothing to see here. All they were doing was using Apple Watches. Well, what are you talking about? That's illegal. You can't be doing that. But, so, like, There's no secret that Manfred has played favorites in the past, and there's evidence of Robert Manfred playing evidence in the past. But I'm to the point where I've gotten, like, I'm past that. Like, I don't care about the sign-stealing stuff. I can, you know, I know the history of it, and I can talk to you about it for days and argue about it for days and then point out the Manfred stuff with the Yankees, and then you throw the Red Sox into there, and you throw all the players who have spoken out about it as well, some of the players that have spoken out about it as well. But I've moved beyond that. Like, I'm ready to look at this scandal in a vacuum. I'm ready to look at this scandal in isolation with, you know, nothing involved in the past. Like, I'm over all the Astros stuff.
Here's the thing, too, Jeremy. The difference between the two where there's bigger – there's more ramifications and it's a bigger deal is when you get the feds involved, when the authorities are involved. The Astros didn't have the authorities involved, and right. their you know, judge and jury was Major League Baseball and Rob Manfred. It wasn't the FBI. It wasn't the government getting involved. It wasn't authorities doing the investigation and getting to decide what the ramifications are going to be and the punishments, you know, are going to be laid down. Baseball's not going to be able to strong arm the authorities and say, we'll take it from here. No, we got this. If the authorities are involved, they're not going to just step out of this and go, yeah, you guys handle it, it's your business. This is big business, and if they're involved, I think that's the biggest deal about what makes this so juicy and also possibly being such a big story with a lot of big ramifications down the line.
Corey Manfred will do everything to cover it up if need be. I agree. Like, this is your biggest star since when? Like, it's
but that's why I don't think the FBI is going to let
ever had. It depends on how much their involvement is, but I could see Manfred trying to, like, you know, use his henchmen to try to cover it up as much as they can. Like, you have fixers. We watch TV. Like, people have fixers that can kind of cover up stuff, make up, you know, make stories,
sure.
blah, 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 paint a narrative, blah, 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 blah. Good attorneys can get you out of stuff that you might have committed. So, like, it happens. It's happened. But, yeah, if the FBI outplays them, then the FBI outplays them. Like, I'm fascinated by this entire story, and we'll probably never know the entire truth. We're going to be given the truth that they want to give you, not the truth that we know. But it is fascinating, and I hope the FBI
This is bigger
wins.
Than the Donaghy thing, too, because of the fact that you're talking about an official, and, yeah, there was something to that. Mm. But obviously no one really knew the name Tim Donaghy until
sure, I don't think
the
it's
scandal
bigger, though.
Came up.
I guess it depends on how you view it. Like, Otani's a bigger name, obviously. Like, he's a global superstar, and Tim Donaghy's just, like, you know, a jabroni referee. But, I mean, he was fixing games. And, look, you can't believe what one side is telling you, but the interpreter was saying that they never bet on Major League Baseball. Like they bet on basketball games, they bet on football games. Like, they weren't fixing games. I don't think it's as impactful. Certainly a bigger name, still certainly a bigger story. But in terms of impacting the game, I don't think that's the case.
I think that's what we're hearing now. We'll just have to wait. Sure. Like I said, that's why we have to wait and see and hear all the facts, because I think that's what everybody wants you to believe right now and what baseball wants you to believe right now. But why it's bigger right now is because it's a bigger name, because it's a bigger deal, and because just like when the basketball story started to come out, you were waiting for more details, wanted to see how many officials were involved, what games, et cetera. But from this, it's just from the get-go now, because it's Otani and the Dodgers – this is going to be a massive storyline until it's all put to bed. And who knows when it's going to be put to bed.
Yeah, I mean, didn't watch Otani close enough. Like, I didn't watch every single Angels game to know if there was anything, like, shady like that. But he was good.
Right.
Like, he was a good player. And it's not to say that good players can't, you know, impact the outcome of the game in a positive or negative way. We don't know what's true, but I tend to believe that they didn't bet on baseball. It's just kind of, you know, my read on the situation, but I could be wrong. We don't know the whole story. 1509, I'll bet my house and my 5-year-old Toyota. Do we want that? That if Shohei Ohtani was in any other market than the L.A. Dodgers or Yankees, he would have more heat on him for Major League Baseball and Manfred, no doubt. Yeah, probably. There's probably some truth to that. He's also the biggest superstar in baseball history. Like, I think he is the biggest international superstar in baseball history. I don't think there's been a bigger star in the history of baseball internationally. I really don't.
No, he is the, you know, the Yao story was cut short, but the Yao trajectory that he was on when he first came to the league was the massive international story that everybody was keeping an eye on. And like I said, injury-wise, he just wasn't able to finish his career. This is one where since Ohtani got to the big leagues, people, one, were keeping an eye on him. Then when he just skyrocketed in terms of his abilities, people were like, oh, my God, he's the new face of baseball. Then when the contract came out, people were like, yep, he's gonna be the front man for a long time. And now to have this is why everybody around the world is keeping an eye on this, because it's a massive story.
713-780-ESPN, 9198. If I'm a degenerate and I have the ability to remove $4.5 million from his account, I'm not paying my debt. I'm placing more bets. I don't know. I think I would steal $4.5 million and go to a private island, and hopefully no one would ever catch me.
But you also got to believe that at a certain point, the guys taking the bets are saying, hey, we're cutting you off till you start paying some of this. Because you can't just keep bringing – I can't believe he got the credit that he did to keep betting.
I mean, unless the guy knows that he has Ohtani's backing, and then he knows that his hooks are into a fish that has the income to keep that money train rolling.
Well, he probably does. He saw the transactions coming from
right,
Ohtani.
Right, with Ohtani's name on it, I think you could let him keep rolling on credit, because you know that Ohtani's name has financial backing. He would be someone motivated to keep this private and keep paying.
Right.
But Shohei knows this, and he's joking around with this guy in the dugout.
Yeah, like we've all said, it just does not pass the smell test. You can't tell me that someone stole $4.5 million from you, used how much more money we don't even know, because those are only the losses that we know. And you know this at least 2 months in advance, and you're still buddy-buddy? It doesn't make sense. And I mean, there's no way, obviously, at least from what we know right now, to prove that he was betting on baseball. But, one, it doesn't matter, because it's still illegal under MLB rules. If you are allowed to bet on, quote, non-diamond sports, but if you're betting through illegal bookmakers, then it doesn't matter if you weren't betting on baseball. It's still legal through MLB's eyes. And, two, not only is Shohei arguably the biggest star in baseball since Babe Ruth, but what other player could impact a game as far as, betting lines more than someone who's starting the game as a pitcher and he's leading off as a hitter? There's no one in baseball who could affect an outcome of a game more than Shohei Ohtani.
But how did he spec it in a negative way? You know what I mean? Like, he was good. He was really good.
I know. Exactly. I'm just saying, if there was someone who could move, no one could move a game potentially if he wanted to.
True.
We don't know yet that he's doing it, but no one could move a game more than someone who's leading it off as a home run hitter and a starting pitcher.
That's a good point.
I'm willing to make the leap of him, like with Shohei betting on sports. I'm not ready to make the leap that he was game fixing. Like, I don't think we've seen any evidence of him because he was good. Like, he's good. Now you can make the case, well, he's striking out in a bases loaded situation with one out in the ninth. But the guy was really, really good. That's why
I
hesitate.
Maybe
I'm being naive, Blankers. Maybe I could be being naive here, sure.
No, I don't think so, Jeremy, but I'm kind of with you, because as bad as the Angels were, and I'm thinking about some of the games with the Astros, still late and whenever he was up, I mean, I hope he was betting on himself then, because he was putting up numbers, he was hitting big bombs, he was hitting big hits, he was doing things that showed that, there was no quitting him. He was the best player on the field for the Angels all season long. And I got a hard time believing a guy that's that good, like you said, that was putting up numbers and making a name for himself with his free agent year coming up, was going to just suddenly find a way to kind of fade a game.
Yeah. 1-2-6-4, you have to have a fall guy in the crew. That's true, especially if you're making that much money, even if it's deferred. 1-9-7-0, how does Ohtani still talk to his interpreter? I don't talk to my coworker who stole my energy drink from the break room. That's the thing.
That's a good point.
$4.5 million, and you're like making jokes with him? It's
crazy. That's one of the biggest questions, because you're right. Look at how many times that, you've seen an athlete when they both were in a car and maybe the athlete was driving, but suddenly, whether they got caught or not, they flip seats or they say, hey, you take this one for the team. I got you. Don't worry about it. It happens all the time when on minor things and other things, because whoever said the caller or the texter that said that, they're absolutely spot on. Like, that's what happens a lot of times, where the athlete keeps his name out of the press. One of his boys takes the fall. He takes care of one of his boys. We're all good.
Yeah, but think about this. Even, obviously, we don't buy the idea that it was stolen from him, because Ohtani wouldn't act that way with his interpreter if that was the case. I don't even know if that sort of chumminess that we saw in the dugout would be happening if it was a case where Ohtani just paid a gambling debt for a friend. Like, if you had to pay, and obviously Ohtani has, more money than God, But if you had to pay $4.5 million for your buddy, maybe you still maintain the relationship, but are you that chummy? I mean, you're probably at least a little mad at him that he put you in a situation where you're having to basically pay him money. You're kind of being extorted.
Shows you that today and yesterday wasn't the first time they heard about this. Since January, they had to know that this was all going down, or at least people were catching on to what was going down.
Yeah. Mega Blast, Shohei Ohtani is bad word guilty, and Major League Baseball is covering up for their golden goose. He's going to get away with it. Junior Broncos on Twitch. Transfers of that large amount of money require more than knowing a password. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Is today the best day on the calendar year to quit your job? What are the other contenders? 713-780-3776. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. You got 32 college basketball games today. What a great day. It's not a day that you want to be outside mowing your grass. Well, how about some Cinlon in your life? You're wasting your valuable time, like you could be spending it today watching some college basketball or hanging out with your family, things like that. You don't want to be dealing with your yard when you want to be having some fun. There's weeds. You got dead spots all around your yard. All of those things that you don't want to put up with. Well, stop doing that and get some Cinlon. Cinlon is here so you can get those weekends back, so you can get your college basketball viewing back, so you can hang out with your family more. Cinlon is the evolution story of the old AstroTurf inside of the dome. And now Cinlon, S-Y-N Lawn, they want to help you. They want to improve your lifestyle. Stop mowing. Stop pulling the weeds. Stop throwing money into an ugly yard that you're embarrassed of people seeing. You don't even have people come over because you're scared that they're going to make judgment on your lawn. Well, Cinlon artificial grass is the best on the market, and it always looks great. Why are they the best? Well, Cinlon offers a lifetime warranty with products that are made right here in the USA. The quality is top shelf. The people are elite as well. It's fully insured, fully bonded. They'll have their own in-house crews. They don't contract anything out. Cinlon's number one priority is to make you happy. Cinlon is perfect for your yard, whether it's for your patio, kids' playground, or your pets so they don't track mud inside anymore. Or how about that putting green you've always wanted to help out that short game? Head to 975cinlon.com right now to learn more. That's 975cinlon.com to learn more and to get started on that yard of your dreams with Cinlon. Cinlon, control the process from yarn to yard.
You're back with the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Carbach Brewing Company.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Visit the boys at Carbach. I'm sad that I'm on remote today. I love the fact that, of course, we're getting started for the NCAA tournament, but I love Carbach. One of my favorite places in town. Come visit us. Carbach Brewing, located 610-290 Interchange, Spring Branch area. Weather might not be great today, but get out of the weather. They have some indoor areas where you can grab some good bite, good drink. Perfect time to enjoy the beer garden, though, this spring. Outdoor space. Check CarbachBrewing.com for upcoming events. Head there now. 713-780-ESPN. A couple of games going on in the NCAA tournament. Wagner is starting to pull away from Wagner. Just 3 minutes to go. They're up 82-58. Halftime, 3-seed Illinois, 14-seed Moorhead State. Illinois
leads by just one.
Hold on, Jeremy. 39-38.
Jeremy, hold on. You said Wagner was pulling away from Wagner.
Yeah.
Oh, North Carolina pulling away from Wagner. That's my bad. Number three, Illinois leading Moorhead State at the half by 139-38. Oregon, the 11 seed, actually favorites in that game. They lead number six, South Carolina, 21-20 with 7 minutes left to go in the first. I love this time of year. I think that both of you like this time of year as well. I saw this from PFT Commenter, so it's not an original Branham joint. Is there a better day to quit your job than today? Because you get today to watch 32 games. You get tomorrow, or 16 games. You get tomorrow to watch 16 more games. Then you have the weekend right after that. I can't think of a better day to quit your job than today, this very moment.
No, I think there's two that might rival it, but it is interesting and it is close. I think that because of the fact that you're talking about the entire weekend, too, as you lead into it, it's different Thursday and Friday and all that. But I think the day after the Super Bowl, the Monday after the Super Bowl, everybody wants that to be a national holiday. If there's a way that you can somehow, without going into work, can get fired after the Super Bowl, I think that would be a big one because everybody needs that rest and relaxation day after how hard they go after it, watching the game and in indulging in all that stuff. I think that one, to me, comes to mind as first and foremost that it might be in the running.
But the only problem with the day after the Super Bowl is, you're off, but then what? Like, there's nothing really on to watch. Like, you do it now, and, you know, you got four straight days of just massive nonstop basketball. I mean, that's why, and I'm sure I'm not alone in this. I don't know if Jeremy and Joel, you did this as well, but when I was a kid and March Madness would come around, and I think my parents knew but still let me get away with it, I would fake an illness usually, stay home and watch college basketball. And when I eventually get, you know, the procedure to make sure I have no kids anymore, it'll be during, right before March Madness, so I have an excuse to stay home, prop my feet up, and just watch nothing but basketball.
I mean, I know working in an NBA office, you could hear the ohs and the screams. Everybody that had a TV in one of the offices.
And you never know who it is because there's so many games going at once.
No matter whether
it could be for anything.
It was big.
Yeah, I don't think anything rivals it. 713-780-3776. Is there a better day on the calendar year to quit your job? I don't think anything rivals it.
You and I, not all people that are sports fans, but you and I would at least entertain, I would think, the conversation. Maybe it's not as big. But the week of the Masters,
because I'm not quitting my job on a Thursday. Because, like, the coolest days of the Masters are Saturday and Sunday. Like, obviously it's cool to watch Thursday, Friday of the Masters. Like, that's neat, but Masters coverage also doesn't start until 3 o'clock. Like, they're the lowest major with television time because they have the old traditions and have all that. And, like, yeah, I like watching the Masters Thursday, Friday. I know when we have these conversations, when you like one thing better than the other, you kind of tend to insult and put down the other thing. I love the Masters. I love the Masters Thursday, Friday. I like watching the build-up, who takes the early lead, you know, who's going to struggle to make the cut. Like, yeah, it's great theater, but it's not the most important days of the tournament or of the Masters. And you could say the same thing about the NCAA tournament, but they are the days with the most volume. Because you get 16 on Thursday, you get 16 on Friday as well. I think the first weekend's the best weekend of the NCAA tournament. What other days rival the NCAA tournament as the best day to just quit your job or get a vasectomy? 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. The Masters weekend's another good weekend to quit, but most people work Monday through Friday. So you're getting
about opening day of Major League Baseball? At least the domestic opening, because we're not going to count the Korea series.
Right.
I mean, there's 161 more.
But there is usually multiple games during the day. Then you'll have a doubleheader at night. You could sit down and watch like four games.
If I could play Jeremy here for a moment.
I just don't care about
crap
the other
on it
teams,
a little
really.
Bit. I think the bigger thing on that is that there is no like big stakes ramifications either.
Yeah.
It's like you're just starting the season.
I like the NCAA tournament more. I'm just
there's a volume of games to watch all day and all night, but there's not the same kind of intensity and ramifications if lose opening day. That's one.
1970 and 9788. I think they love Soccer Matters because if I could be employed for the World Cup, I would be happy for that month. World Cup group stage. That's another good one because like they're on during the day. It's during the middle of the day. Now you have to be a soccer fan. I love the World Cup. I love soccer. It's just been hard for me to find a club to root for. You know, in the Premier League, things like that. But World Cup, I'm all in. I love the World Cup. So that's a pretty good call. I like that call. Not as good as March Madness, but pretty good call.
I'm not a big soccer fan. I understand. Glenn always browbeats me with that. And I've known him for like 10, 15, 20 years. But at the same time, it's not going to change my opinion. And he knows this. I pay attention. There are matches that I watch. But soccer doesn't have the same appeal and impact to me as, like, even to me, the Masters and or especially, like, tournament time. You know, the other one that you're not going to take off of work for unless you work on weekends, but like that wild card weekend of the NFL now where you get Saturday, Sunday, Monday football, that's a great stretch.
I don't like that one because you're not – I mean, most people – we're talking about the average person that works Monday through Friday, you know, 9 to 5. Like, you don't need to take off work for that. Like, you're not quitting your job so you can watch football on the weekend or watch football in a primetime slot. 6-9-4-1 day Major League Baseball playoff start. That's a pretty good one. Since Astros week, they have a day game with three.
Yeah,
that's a good call. That one's pretty good.
There's multiple games during the day.
The idea of that.
Yeah.
6043 says you'd like the Champions League if you like soccer. I've tried to watch the Champions League, but that goes back to not having the vested interest in club. Like, it's hard to watch it if you don't have the vested interest. Like, you can certainly like the quality and stuff like that, but, like, obviously you have a vested interest in the World Cup. Like, oh, you go USA whenever they make it. Or you're like, go Mexico. I know they're bitter rivals. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line, 0170. There's like 2 weeks of practice and qualifying before the Indy 500. Sorry, man. I'm not taking off work for the Indy 500.
No. Yeah, miss me on that
one. Not taking off work for the Indy 500. So a bunch of people can make left turns. Shout out Jim Rome. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. The Astros bullpen, we all say that the Astros bullpen is improved, right? Because the addition of Josh Hader. But is it actually improved? 713-780-3776. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. I have a way for you to improve your day. It's a drink that I like to call Gentleman. I like a good one at the end of the night. Vodka, gin, bourbon, all in that rotation for me. And Gentleman Spirits does it better than anyone else. How? With our revolutionary Presedo technology that eliminates impurities for the cleanest, smoothest spirits you'll ever taste. Purification of Gentleman is unrivaled. You'll love what's not in it, including undesirable acids. These acids take the enjoyment out of your drinks. Well, Gentleman gets rid of the undesirable acids so you can enjoy. Try a sip of Gentleman vodka, gin, straight bourbon, or cask strength bourbon. Compare it to what you drink, and you will never go back. I've been a Gentleman man ever since I had that first sip because you get all the flavor and none of the burn. It's so smooth, so clean. Enjoy your drink. Don't work through it. Look for Gentleman at the liquor store. Ask for it at your favorite restaurant or bar. Head to the Gentleman tasting room. If you're going to Minute Maid soon, well, there's a Gentleman bar there to get a Gentleman with your baseball. Also, Ben's Bar inside the Toyota Center. You can have some Gentleman at Rockets games or concerts there. Or if you just want to go online, order it that way, you can do that. Gentlebin.com. Go to the shop. Add the vodka, the gin, the bourbon, all to your cart. Have it delivered straight to your doorstep. That's Gentlebin.com. Gentlebin.
The Killer Bees are broadcasting live from inside the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Carbot Brewing Company. Now back to Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Fantastic spot for a little bit of food, a little bit of beer. Join us in the pub daily for lunch, dinner, and brunch on Sunday. Current pub specials. How about a burger and a bock, plus free glass for just $20. That started yesterday, runs through April 10th in celebration of Bock Day. I'll also be running $4 bocks all month long. Check out our fun FUN series brews, only available in the pub and beer garden as well. If you're driving around town, you're looking for something to do, well, how about you go over to Carbock, hang out with the boys, 713-780-ESPN. We're about 11 minutes for the first matchup of the Killer Bees fight bracket kicking off. Fight Club bracket. We got a doozy in these first couple. We're going to do a few of these a day, play them out throughout the NCAA tournament, and then we're going to have a Championship Monday on the same day of Championship Monday. So looking forward to doing that. Some doozies. We'll also get our thoughts on – it was a random draw. We'll get our thoughts of, you know, who's going to go to the Final Four, who are some favorites to win it. But it's all in your hands, Hive. You're the ones that are going to be voting on this and advancing these Houston sports radio personalities on in our tournament. But first – opening day just around the corner for the Astros. A lot of people think that the Astros improved their bullpen, right? You know, you signed Josh Hader. He's your closer now. You add to the back end. Looks like one of the best back ends in all of Major League Baseball. But, you know, you did lose Hector Neris, who had a really good year. You lose Ryan Stanek, who was solid. You've lost Phil Maton, who was solid. And you really didn't replace those guys with anyone of what we would call significance. You're looking at names like a Taylor Scott, who I hadn't heard of before a week ago, and I follow the Astros pretty closely. Parker Mashinsky, who got hammered last year. Seth Martinez, who's been solid. Asuza, who is a journeyman, who was like on 12 teams last year, but pitched for you well in like five innings at the end of the regular season. Have the Astros really improved the overall bullpen? Certainly Josh Hader, the best reliever on the market, but the other guys you lose, the Neris, the Stanek, the Phil Maton, and then filling it in with some 4A types that are trying to make a name for themselves. How much do you think, if at all, the Astros really improved the bullpen?
I think that they definitely shortened both the game and the amount of guys that you would trust to go into a game. I mean, I think that shortening the game to a six-inning game, if you can, with your starters because the 7, 8, and 9 is covered, that is an outstanding add because you got, you know, a dominant reliever in Hader. But with doing that, you know, those guys can't pitch every single day, so you're going to need other guys to fill in. So the three guys that got away, you didn't replace. And to your point, the people that you're looking at, you know, auditioning for those roles don't have the same kind of cachet as the guys that you lost. So it shortens the amount of comfort, the comfort level that Joe Espada has when going to the bullpen in the middle innings to try and figure out guys that are going to get him through, you know, tough starts and long games to buy some time. So I think that shortening the game is the sexy thing, but I don't think the bullpen got better as a whole. There's no way you can say that because there's so many question marks, and we still don't know at this point in spring training who those guys that are going to fill those other roles that are going to be key in the middle innings of relief in the fifth, in the sixth, when things don't go right or they're going very right, as opposed to a year ago when you didn't have that kind of overall lockdown security of the 7, 8, 9, but it was close because you knew the 8 and 9 were covered. But at the same time, you had those three other guys that Maton had an unbelievable first half last year. And Neris was great the entire season. And Stanek, 2 years ago, the ERA was unbelievable. We know he didn't use him in the playoffs. But when he was called on, he at least did his job for the most part. And I don't know that we have the same kind of trust in those guys. I don't think the bullpen as a whole is better than it was a year ago.
Yeah, I don't think it's fair to use Stanek 2 years ago for this conversation.
I'm saying last year he still came in and did his job for the most part.
Well, you pointed out his numbers 2 years ago. Like, I don't think that really takes any merit to, you know, losing him from what he did a year ago. Like, he regressed, you know? Like, he was still solid. Like, I would take Stanek over some of these names. I just don't think it's fair to use his numbers from 2 seasons ago. The Astros last year were sixth in all of baseball in bullpen ERA. They had a 3.56 bullpen ERA, but behind only the Yankees, Brewers, Dodgers, Mariners, and the Orioles. Do you think that the Astros are going to have a 3.56 bullpen ERA this year? I really don't. I don't think that the Astros bullpen is better for the regular season, but I do think it is better for the postseason. I think it is a bullpen that is constructed for playoff baseball. Because when you look at the back end and you have those three dudes, it's like, awesome. We feel like we have the 7th, 8th, and 9th. It's done. It's curtains. If you have the lead going into that inning, we're going to win. Or if you're tied going into those innings, okay, cool. Now we're just going to scratch a run and win this baseball game. But whenever you have to fill all of the innings that you have to fill, the Astros' starting rotation right now is depleted. They're not going to go super deep into games, especially early. You're not getting starting pitching help, you know, until at minimum in the middle of the summer. When I'm talking Lance and Luis Garcia, you hope you get Verlander and Urquidy back, you know, way before that. But they're going to have to eat a bunch of innings, and you're going to have to eat a bunch of innings with those cast of characters that I have no idea who's going to make the back half of the Astros bullpen. But mention some of those names: a Souza, a Scott, a Mashinsky, a Martinez, a Souza. So those guys are going to have to pitch a lot, whether you like it or not. So I don't think their overall bullpen ERA is going to be 3.56. I think it's going to be like 3.75. But I do think that it helps them out more in the postseason. If they get into the postseason, I expect them to do that with ease. Once you get there, that's when you see what a Josh Hader addition really brings to your ball club.
Not only that, but I think when you're talking about it from a playoff perspective, you're talking about the pitchers that are going to be available that aren't going to be one of your first four starters are going to enhance your bullpen and cover up a lot of your mess from the regular season, because you got guys that will have been proven to have gotten guys out during the regular season as starters, and the guys that you're getting back from injury probably factor into that as well, to where filling those roles in the playoffs becomes a lot more simplistic with the arms you have to choose from in the postseason, as opposed to right now not knowing when a lot of these guys are coming back from injury, and in the case of McCullers and Garcia, it being, you know, after the midway point, and then trying to figure out who are these guys that are going to buy some time for you to get to that point, while assumably your team plays well enough to get you to that postseason where it then will become a strength.
713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. 8437, I've been saying this day in and day out, getting Hader is great. I love the moves. However, to say that 7, 8, 9 this year are a lot better than what we had last year with Neris, Abreu, Presley, I just don't see it. It's better, don't get me wrong, but the starting pitching has to make it to 7, 8, 9, which they struggled doing last year with the new rules. Just feel like it's going to be a repeat, in my opinion, though. See, Neris had a great year, and I don't think that Neris is going to repeat that. So, like, it's kind of what do you project Neris to do versus what you project Hader to do. But, you know, you're looking at last year's bullpen versus this year's bullpen, and Neris pitching way over his head contributed to you having a top six bullpen in all of Major League Baseball. I would be shocked, and I would place a bet on that. I don't think that the Astros will have a top six bullpen ERA over the course of the regular season. But I think it's constructed for the playoffs, Blankers.
It is. But I also think, Jeremy, the one thing that to your point on Neris is, he doesn't have to have the complete lockdown kind of season he had a year ago. But if you knew that you had Neris back, when you and I were talking about it, the three guys that walk, the one guy that I was really adamant I wanted to bring back, but the price was just inevitably too high, was Neris. Because if you had Neris to cover the sixth every night or most of the nights, along with the back end of that bullpen, then I would feel even better. I would entertain the conversation that's a bullpen that could get you by better in the regular season as well as the playoffs. But because you don't have that guy who was the one guy I thought that had the effective stuff, that I think he's still going to have good numbers this year. It's going to be interesting to see how if he lives up to the billing and the money, or if he ends up being more Montero-esque this year. But if I had Neris in the sixth, I'd feel better about this bullpen in the regular season.
You know, 3-7-4-7. Remember that Montero's now a solid option, a middle reliever, no longer a back end guy. He wasn't last year, though. Like, maybe he started that way in the first couple of months, but after the first 2 months of the year, he was your fourth reliever. Like, he was behind Ryan Pressly, Brian Abreu, and Hector Neris. Montero was your fourth reliever last year by like month two. He starts this season as your fourth reliever.
And I have less confidence than I had in him a year ago.
Oh, for sure, because he was coming off the really good year. Was he overpaid? Sure, but that doesn't really impact performance, and then he was awful. Now, he did pitch well in the second half. His second half wasn't as good as his 2022, and I think we would all take his second half of last year, because that first half, you know, just gives us nightmares. 713-780-ESPN, a couple of updates on your tournament scores. Illinois, Moorhead State, the Fighting Illini lead by two, 13.5 left to play there. Number 11, Oregon, leads number 6, South Carolina, 32-26, a minute left to play in the first half. And number 7, Dayton, number 10, Nevada, underway. 14.5 to go first half there. Dayton leads by 2. A lot of good games. I like this crop of games here. I think we're going to see some good finishes coming up. Speaking of those brackets, it's time now for our Killer Bee Fight Club bracket. First annual Killer Bee Fight Club bracket, where we are pitting Houston sports radio hosts against each other. And we're going to open it up to a vote. Who wins these fights and who will, at the end of this on Championship Monday, claim the Killer Bees Fight Club Bracket Championship? We'll break it all down next. 713-780-3776. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Guy, before we go to the break, I do want to tell you about the fact that we know what time of the year it is, and we know it's the best time of the year when you are a sports fan, especially when you like to wager along the way. That's why I always tell you about mybookie.ag, and I'm telling you about them again, because they're going to take care of you every step of the way. It's your one-stop shop for all your sports betting and casino needs, complete with a real-life Vegas experience right from the comfort of your own phone and your own home. They got you covered. All you got to do is to take your viewing experience to the next level with real-time live betting that lets you stream and bet the games, is go to mybookie.ag on their website. You can sign up now and you can see the games while you're betting on the games, and take advantage of a generous welcome bonus as well on your first deposit, all the way up to $1,000. Like, if you put $200 in, you get $300 ready to play instantly, but you're using our promo code BET975. The fun doesn't stop there. You get up-to-the-minute odds, props, and this week's expert predictions to help you decide who to bet on when you are looking at games and you are watching aplenty. And the best part of MyBookie, you can bet on anything, anytime, from anywhere. It's what I always tell you to do. And I always tell you to use our promo code BET975, because it pays off for you. They've been in business for over a decade. Your money's not going anywhere. It's going to be safe and secure. And they're going to have plenty of different ways they take care of you so that you have more money to play along the way. You get a friend to sign up, you get a bonus for that too. Just check them out today. Remember our promo code BET975. And as I always tell you, bet anything, anytime, anywhere, with the only place I tell you to do it, it's mybookie.ag.